Good morning. So how many of you had to wear a jacket today? Some kind of a jacket. Can you believe it? Middle of June in Idaho and we had to wear a jacket to church today. Just amazing. Unbelievable. All right, well, when you came in this morning, how many of you got a bulletin? Great. How many of you didn't? Make sure you get one on your way out, okay? Nobody raised their hand saying they didn't get one. So I don't know if they're just embarrassed or they really did pick one up. So that's great. We'll open it up and let's kind of go through some of the things that are going on. So this Wednesday at noon, Joy lunches at Chapala's. The Chapala's over by the Walmart off of Overland, all right? So you can't miss it. If you find the Walmart on Overland, close to Kentucky Fried Chicken, you'll find Chapala. So come and join us for lunch. It'll be a great time of food and a great time of fellowship as well. Remember, there's no children's church, so grab a children's worship bulletin. If you haven't already, make sure that you do that. And please don't do those until during the message. We've got camp brochures out there, and so lots of cool things going on. There's a prayer request that's been added to the prayer corner in our bulletin. Amy McKella is going in for surgery tomorrow on her knees, so please make sure that you pray for her. So if you don't know who she is, Amy, just give a little wave. There you go. Okay? All right? And so be praying for her. Pray for Paul, because he retired, but he's probably going to work hard trying to take care of Amy during her time of recovery, but he'll do fine. So just remember both of them in prayer. Well, if you remember, if you were here on Mother's Day, we honored some ladies here in our church that make things happen, kind of behind the scenes. And we couldn't do the things that we do without them. And, you know, we have some guys who fit into that same category. So I want to spend a few moments honoring those, because sometimes I don't think that these gentlemen get the honor that is really due them. Now, I know that none of them do what they do for praise or for honor or anything like that. So that's why I've gone out of my way to try to do that today. So the first person that I want to award or honor is standing right behind me. His name is Jared. He's our worship leader. He does a great job, doesn't he? You all appreciate what Jared does? I know that I do. And I know that sometimes it seems like Jared and I have put the service together on Sunday, and then we get up and say, hey, this was the Lord's doing. And we're here to tell you it really is the Lord's doing. We don't really do that. I think probably I can count on the number of fingers on one hand the times we've probably got together to be able to collaborate. But, yeah, that just doesn't happen. So I just want Jared to know how much I appreciate him.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then there's another fellow sitting behind me over here that when we have guests, these people are just so blessed by our worship team, by Jared and by Dave and by the ladies that help out on our worship team. And they just think that our praise and our worship is so God-honoring. And a lot of times they've been to churches where it's been nothing but a show. It's been nothing but a production. And they can see right through that. They come here and they see that we have genuine worship. And, you know, I don't know how many people in their churches have the talent that we have with Dave Weinkoop, who can play lots of different instruments. I love it when he plays the cello. I love it when he plays the little fiddle. I love it when he plays, I even love it when he plays his accordion. I wish he would play his accordion a little bit more. Don't you? Maybe not today, but anyway. Here, Dave, thanks for what you do for us around here. You are very welcome. And then, of course, these two guys and the ladies that are on worship team, they will tell you they can't do it without somebody turning on the microphones, making sure all the microphones are working. And Jeremy already told me he had to work a little extra this morning because the gremlins were here. And things weren't, when he fired up the projectors and when he fired up the computer, things weren't working very well. So he had to try to figure out what all's going on and try to figure out how to get it to work. So he's worked overtime today. But you know what? We couldn't do it without Jeremy doing our sound booth and doing our projection. So Jeremy, here you go. And by the way, in case you don't know, Jeremy at this point in time is our one and only sound and projection guy. Okay, but you know what? He could use a little extra help. You know, so if you've been praying about doing something here at church, if you've been praying about maybe learning how to do that, and you'd like to help out, you just come and see me, or you go and talk to Jared, or you go and talk to Jeremy, and we'll get you plugged in, because we could use another extra set of people to be able to do that. All right, well, most of you know that every month we have this thing called Men's Breakfast, right? You think, you know, I think sometimes we just think the elves put it all together, right? We have breakfast elves, and they just put it all together, and we just show up, and we eat, and, you know, it's just a great time, and it's just a good time of food and fellowship. But, you know, somebody has to plan it. Somebody has to cook it. Somebody has to organize it. And so we're blessed to have two guys that provide leadership for our men's breakfast. So we have Brian Crawford and we have William Dunkel. So come on down. Come on, guys. So if it wasn't for these guys, we would never be able to do it. So William, here you go. Oh, no. That's an inside joke, okay? We went to the ball game the other night, and they had these two kids throwing hot dogs from the top of the visitor's dugout out into the stands. And when the guy announced the winner who threw the hot dogs the farthest up into the stands, he gave the right name, but he pointed to the wrong guy. And so it was kind of funny. So I thought I would do that today. So thank you guys so much for providing leadership for that. And then we have a men's Bible study. And if we didn't have a men's Bible study leader, we wouldn't have men's Bible study. And so this guy puts out emails. He puts out things for us to think about. He leads our discussion. He prays for us, and he prays for our Bible study. And he does a lot of work. Does a lot of work behind the scenes in order to make our Bible study really a thing for us to be able to learn. So Brian Ritchie, come on down. And so Brian, I know your wife is gone. I know your daughters are gone. I know you're batching it, so this will help you with at least one or two meals while they're gone. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I think that'll help. And then I saved this guy for last on purpose, because this guy, keeps me grounded as pastor, and he's been doing it for 11 plus years. And he's more than just an elder. He's my friend, and he's not afraid to be able to come and say, "I think you're overthinking this, Sam. I think you need to look at this from a different perspective." And he's always been so supportive. He's always been so encouraging. He works behind the scenes, probably to clean up messes that I don't even know existed. But I'm glad that God has allowed me to be able to serve with him and to serve him as an elder. He's our longest standing elder since I've been here as pastor. And so, Robert, I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. So come on up. And for all the things that you do for us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. All right, let's give all of these that we've honored this morning, let's give them a really nice round of applause. All right, guys. And so I just want to have all of the fathers just stand. If you are here today and you're a father. Now, the other day, some lady tried to tell me she was a father, and I didn't buy that. Okay? She was a little mixed up, but that's okay. All right? And so if you're a father, stand so that we can honor you. Let's give all of them a nice round of applause, shall we? And let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you that we could spend this time this morning honoring these these fathers, honoring these men who work so diligently behind the scenes to be able to make things happen here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. And I know each and every one of them do it for you. And each and every one of them do it because they have a heart for you and they have a heart for our church family. And Father, they want it to be honoring to you. They want it to be right. And Father, I'm so thankful for their dedication to you. I'm thankful for all of the fathers that have chosen to be with us this morning. And Father, I pray that as we praise you, Father, we will praise you with our full hearts and our full voices. Father, I pray that as we've come to worship you today, Father, that we will hear your word. Father, that we will allow it to be able to speak into our hearts and to speak into our lives. And then as we leave this place, to live it. Whether we're men or whether we're women or whether we're kids or whether we're teens, Father, we're here to be able to bring glory and honor to you. May that happen. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me as we sing this first song, which is aptly called Here For You? Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. Oh, we are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven, fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. Sing this right to Jesus.
To you are our sorrow open, nothing here is hidden. Fire fall down and let us shout, be your anthem, your renown, fill the sky. We are here for you. Your word, nerve and power, let what's dead come to life. We are here for you, Lord, we are here for you. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise, we welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. all of my days. I want your praise, the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Lift him up, come on. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Amen. Please be seated as we continue this morning. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read some scripture today. We're in Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. It says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us to open up the barriers between us. Thank you, God, for your grace and your compassion. Lord, we love you. We are here for you, and we lift you up today because you are good. Amen. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Thank you, Jesus. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us.
praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord, praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Righteousness and truth are the foundations of your throne. Righteousness and truth are the foundations of your throne. In your presence, Lord, the mountains melt like wax. In your presence, Lord, smell like wax. In your presence, Lord, I bow before your throne. In your presence, Lord, I bow before your throne. And compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far, and he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far, he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Jesus, for bridging the gap. Thank you, God, for what you've done and for who you are. You are worthy of our praise today. You are worthy of worship. If you have offering, give it in the box on your way out today. I'm not going to pass plates today. A thousand times I failed, still your mercy remains. Beyond I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart, in my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out. Lord, my soul cries out. In my heart and my soul, in my heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting, your light will shine when never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out.
You know, as we were singing the last praise song, I kept thinking, what does it look like to live our lives for God from the inside out? And I prayed, and I said, God, what does that look like? And then a picture popped into my mind. Out here on the bulletin board, right beyond the sanctuary doors, we have three letters from three, I want to call them teenagers. One of them's almost out of his teens. But from three teenage men in our church who are serving up at Camp Shiloh this whole summer. And they wrote letters saying this is what they believe God would have them be able to do. And they line out in each one of those letters, each one of these teens line out what it is that God, they're expecting God to do as they are serving him up a camp this week. I want to encourage you, just don't walk by them on the way to the restrooms or the drinking fountain or on the way to the nursery. Stop by and take the time to read each one of those letters. We have one out there from Gavin. We have one out there from Jonas. We have one out there from Jack Schofield. Take the time to be able to read them so that you'll be able to know that we have teenagers in our church who are willing to live inside out for God. And you know what? If they're willing to do it, we should be willing to do it as well in the places that God has us. Well, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Philemon. I know it's probably a long time since you've probably heard a sermon from Philemon. And some of you probably have no idea where it is. It's in the New Testament. I'll give you that much. No, I'll give you a little bit more. It's past 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. So if you get to 1 Timothy, you're close. You get to 2 Timothy, you're a little closer. You get to Titus, you're hot, okay? Because Philemon is just right after the book of Titus. And so I want to be able to just share some things. We talked about godly women on Mother's Day, and we're going to talk about godly men, but we're going to focus on what I believe here in Philemon chapter 1. And there's only one chapter. So if I say chapter 1, I just mean the chapter in Philemon. And so you're probably wondering, how in the world, Pastor, did you get to Philemon? Well, I heard this. I got this idea about that, you know, there are books in the Bible that are long. There are books in the Bible that are medium. And there are books in the Bible that are kind of short. And all of the short books, somebody said, I heard this person say, have you ever done a study of just the short books in the Bible, especially the ones in the New Testament? So I thought, I'm going to start reading those. And you know what? I came to understand those are kind of like postcards. They're not letters like Romans or like 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. They're just kind of brief because they're shortened. And so I'm starting to kind of, this will show you how weird your pastor really is, in case you didn't figure it out by now. I'm starting to work on a series called Postcards from the New Testament. Now, I don't know when I'm going to deliver that, so you're just going to have to hang around for a lot longer until I get it developed and God gives me the grace and the peace to be able to do that. But so I was reading in Philemon, and it's like the first part of this chapter in Philemon is all about Paul sharing his heart and sharing his life with a friend. And we all know Paul to be a godly man. Was he perfect? No. Did he sin? Yes, just like the rest of us. But he's sharing here in Philemon his heart with a friend. And I thought, you know, here's a godly man reaching out to a friend, has friend to friend, has godly friend to godly friend. And I thought, what more is a godly man do we need to understand? That God has given us friends, and he expects us to be able to interact with those friends in a godly way. So that's going to be the focus for our message this morning for this Father's Day. But it's no secret that men are different than women, right? Besides the physical aspects and the emotional aspects and maybe even the intellectual aspects, because my wife is far smarter than I am. And so, but you know, the main difference is women like to converse using lots of words. Have you figured that out? If you're a woman, you figured that out. And if you're married to a man, you figured that out a long time ago. And men, because they will try to converse using just a few words. Somebody said to me, I read this somewhere long, long time ago, that women in the course of a day use about 10,000 words. Men, when they reach 1,000 words, they're done in the course of their day. Yeah, that's probably pretty true, you know. And I think the older that we get, men, the less we want to communicate. I don't know what the reason is for that. But I know my wife and I, we can spend hours sitting in the same room and not say a word. But I know she's there, and I know she's thinking about me, and I hope she knows that I'm thinking about her, because I am, you know. And but the funny thing is, when I get up to go to a different part of the house or the apartment, she starts talking. And it's like, I've been sitting here for hours. And now you want me to know something, right? And anyway, it's we laugh about it. We don't argue. We don't have intense moments of fellowship over it. We just argue, okay? But even some of our politicians communicate with just a few words, and you might be going, what? Well, none of us were around when we had a politician who was known for that, and his name was Calvin Coolidge. Do you remember him? Okay, maybe from history. I know none of you were around when he was president. Okay, but he was known for his short communication skills. For example, once when he was at a dinner party and he sat by a woman, this woman said to him, I bet someone that I could get more than two words out of you. President Coolidge's response, you lose. One time, President Coolidge went to church when his wife was unable to attend. When he arrived at home, she asked him what the pastor preached about. His response, sin. Later on, when she asked him what the pastor's main point was, he said he was against it. Sounds pretty true to form, doesn't it? So today, as I said before, I want us to focus on the example of a godly man from the letter that Paul wrote to a fellow named Philemon. And in this letter, Paul displays for us that a godly man is a man who understands that God gives to him friends. You know, someone once said, a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. I kind of like that. Godly men realize that good friends are a gift from God. And I think I've already tried to share with you that the men that do things around the church without praise, and they do things behind the scenes, and especially the men who serve on our leadership team, they're not just people who hold offices. They're not just men who do things around the church. I consider each one of them a friend. And I think they feel the same way about their pastor, which means so much to me. But I want us to look at some things about this. First, godly men make new friends. Now, remember in our study of the book of Acts, here just a few sermons ago, we talked about the fact that everywhere that Paul went, he made friends. Everywhere that he went. And he's not afraid to recognize those friends. He recognizes them in his letters. I mean, the book of Romans, I mean, in the last chapter of the book of Romans, there's about 15 or 16 different friends that Paul mentions there. Paul, throughout the book of Acts, is mentioning friends that he has. He does that in all of his communication. And so everywhere he went, he was making new friends in Jesus. And he lists some of them. Look at verses 1 and 2. Hopefully by now you found this little letter of Philemon. Look at verses 1 and 2. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Timothy, he lists. Philemon, he lists. Apphia, he lists, and Archippus. These were close friends. In fact, did you notice they were so close to Paul that he called them brother, beloved, fellow worker, fellow soldier? And I can identify with that, because the ones that serve here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, the men that serve here, the women who serve here, I look at them in the same way, as a brother and a sister, as people who are beloved, who are fellow workers and fellow soldiers. And Paul enjoyed making new friends. Even now that Paul's an older man and he's in jail, as he's writing this letter to his friend Philemon, he's in jail because of his involvement in God's mission. And yet, even now, he's still making new friends, because he writes to Philemon about a new friend that he made. Look at verses 9 and 10. Paul says, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner, also for Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. God desires, men, for us to have friends. And he can help us make new friends and enjoy our current friends in unexpected ways. Paul was able to strike up this friendship with this fellow named Onesimus. Paul had a friend named Philemon. Onesimus was a worker, was a slave in the household of Onesimus. So they had Philemon in common, Paul and Onesimus did. Now, I think you and I both know that a lot of people would have an unhappy attitude while being a prisoner, and they would miss the God-given opportunity to make new friends or to reach out to the friends that they have to be able to tell them how much they appreciate those friends. But not Paul. Paul saw God at work even as he was in prison. And we saw that time and time again as we've been studying the book of Acts. Paul's been put in prison. And what does he do? He takes it as an opportunity. I know that some of you, sometimes when you're in the hospital, you take the opportunity to get to know the staff so that what? You can tell them the message of Jesus. Sometimes you go to a new situation in work and you're working with a whole different set of coworkers. And you take the opportunity to make friends with them so that you can tell them the message of what Jesus did on the cross. And I know that sometimes there are things in this life that get in the way of us making friends or being the friends that we know that God wants us to be able to do. And sometimes the older that we get, we just don't think that that is an opportunity that is given to us. Have you ever looked in the mirror and hoped you saw something or someone different? I know sometimes I do. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I still think I'm 20. And then I go out and do what I think a 20-year-old would be doing, and then my body goes, how'd that work out for you when I was done, right? Maybe someone a little younger, or if you're younger, maybe someone a little older. Can I remind you this morning that God wants to use you and me just the way we are to be able to make friends of the people that he puts into our life. Whether they be part of our workplace, whether they be part of our school, whether they be part of our community, whether they be part of our church family, he wants to use us just the way we are to be able to make friends. When Gladys Allward was a little girl, she had two great sorrows. One was that all of her friends had beautiful blonde hair, while her hair was coal black. The other sorrow was that her friends kept growing long after she stopped at 4 feet, 10 inches. Eventually, God called Gladys Allward to be a missionary in China. And when she stood on the wharf after arriving in Shanghai, she looked around at the people and saw that every single one of them, guess what, had black hair. And every one of them, guess what, had stopped growing at about the same height that Gladys did. Gladys looked up to God and said, God, it's so obvious you know what you're doing. And God was helping her to be able to make friends. And you know what? He will help us to do that as well. And then we see Paul here helping his friend Onesimus. Look at, starting in verse 10, I'm going to read down through verse 14. Paul says, I appeal to you, Philemon, for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. You know, people get themselves into all kinds of trouble. Sometimes it's their own fault. Sometimes it's just the circumstances of life. And that's what Paul is talking about. Because look at what he says in verse 15. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant or a slave, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Isn't that precious? Isn't that great? Wow, Paul is really pouring out his heart here to his friend Philemon. And God is telling us by this that he doesn't want us to kick people when they're down, especially our friends. He wants us to help them, just like Paul helped his friend Onesimus. And you know what? You may be the only person who can give the correct help. I think that's what's going on here. Paul was the only one who could really appeal to Philemon on Onesimus' behalf. You know, when I think about that, I'm reminded of what it says in Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves when? At all times. So class, does all mean all? Yeah, it does. When our friends are going through good things, when our friends are going through not so good things. And like I said, I'm not sure that anyone else could have helped Onesimus like Paul. And God can use you to help someone in a way that maybe no one else can. Now, the best way that Paul helped Onesimus was by helping him to believe in Jesus as Savior. And that's what Paul was talking about in verse 10 when Paul said, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, my child in the faith, whose father I became in my imprisonment. That's how Paul referred to Timothy, my child in the faith. Because as a result of Paul's ministry, Timothy came to believe in Jesus as Savior. As a result of Paul's ministry and friendship, Onesimus came to believe in Jesus as Savior. He's talking about this runaway slave being adopted into the family of God because of his belief in Jesus. And you know what? This is the best way to help people, is to help bring them to believe in Jesus as Savior. And every single one of us can do that with the friends that God has given us. So help your friends get to know God, or get to know God better. And you know what? Not only do godly men help their friends, but godly men help friends get along. That's what Paul was doing. Let's start back at verse 10 and let's read all the way to verse 18 now. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you may have him back forever. No longer a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Wow. What is Paul doing here? Paul is being a peacemaker. He's doing everything he possibly could to bring Onesimus and Philemon back together. And this shows Paul's friendly concern and counsel in this situation. Did you notice that Paul didn't say, listen, I'm telling you to do this because I'm an apostle, and I have the authority to be able to mandate that you do that. I'm a minister of God. I'm involved in his mission. I'm taking his message around the known world. I've been able to help start churches. I'm begging of you. I'm commanding you to be able to do this, and I have the authority to be able to do that because of my position as a spiritual leader. But Paul's not, he's not using any of those. He's using his what? His heart. Friend's heart to another friend's heart. This shows his friendly concern and his counsel in this situation. Did you see in verse 10? He pleads. He pleads from his heart to Philemon. In verse 11, he persuades from his heart to Philemon. In verse 12, he sent Onesimus back to Philemon. He said, I could have left him here. He could be very useful to me. But I didn't want to do that without your consent. So I'm sending him back to you. And then did you notice in verses 18 and 19? Paul is offering to pay whatever the debt is that is owed from Onesimus to Philemon. Paul's saying, listen, I'm not getting in the middle of it, but you know what? If that's what it would take, Philemon, for you to be able to accept now this brother in the Lord, this brother in Jesus, who now has come to believe in him as Savior, if that's what it takes, I'm willing to be able to do that. You put it on my account, and the next time I see you, I will take care of it. I will pay it. Wow. What a friend. Not only a friend of Onesimus, but what a friend of Philemon. To be able to make it easier for that friendship to be able to be reestablished, that connection to be able to be reconnected between Philemon and Onesimus. Earlier, I told you about 4-foot-10-inch Gladys Allward going to China as a missionary. One day, a terrible riot broke out at a local prison. And amazingly, the prison warden called on Gladys to restore order. She asked the warden, what could one unarmed woman do against dozens of armed, murderous men? He replied, well, Gladys, you tell us that the living God lives inside of you. Surely he will help you prevail. Gladys said a quick and heartfelt prayer and entered the prison gates. Bodies lay all over the inner courtyard. One prisoner armed with a machete was chasing men around the yard. Gladys stepped up to him and commanded him to hand her his weapon. And he did. Then Gladys lined up all the prisoners, listened to why they had rioted, and got them to start cleaning up the prison yard. Soon after, she began several reforms in that prison, and she even began leading Bible studies in that very same place. Now, God may never ask you to bring peace to a prison riot, but if he did, he would give you the strength to do it. But God does want us to bring peace to the places that he puts us. He does want us to bring peace if we know that there's something going on between two of our friends. He wants us to step in and to do what we can to be a peacemaker. He wants us to be a peacemaker in our homes. He wants us to be a peacemaker in the workplace. He wants us to be a peacemaker in our schools, in our neighborhoods, and in our communities, and maybe even in our church family when necessary. Because you see, wherever God sends us in his mission with his message, he wants us to go in peace. He wants us to be a peacemaker. And then godly men know that Jesus is their friend. Go back to verse 4. Paul says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. You see, being a friend of God has to do with our love and faith in Jesus because of what he's done for us on the cross. Why do we love him? Because he loves us and he gave himself to be the sacrifice for our sins. And remember, even when Jesus was here, Jesus said that he's going to the cross, not for his enemies, but for his friends. And if we have troubles like Onesimus, Jesus will be there for us. Psalm 25, verse 14 says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer to a brother. I believe that friend who sticks closer to us is Jesus. God wants us. He wants us as men. He wants us as ladies. He wants us as teens. He wants us as children to be friends, to make friends. And he wants us to be a good friend to others. Father, as godly men, I pray that you will help us to be able to make friends. And then, Father, I pray that you will help us to bring those friends either to come to believe in you as Savior or to get to know you and your word better. Father, I pray that all of us will leave this place knowing that you desire for each and every one of us to be a friend, to be a friend to those that you put in our paths, that you allow our lives to be able to intersect with, that they may be able to know you, or they might be able to know you better. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song, To God Be the Glory?
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Yes, give him the glory, great things he has done.